Good evening.
This has been a crazy week.
Has it now?
Well, it's been a week of unexpected things happening.
Yeah, one of the unexpected things is we're going to St. Louis.
Wow, yeah, that's one I mean, we talked about that we never expected.
We figured the good old days of Anheuser-Busch flying us on certain parts around, various locales around the country to be over. And, they must have been listening because they're like, hey, yeah, we should do that.
I guess it's the same people that they invited before. So, I imagine the Olsen brothers may be there. And
Those guys, they moved to Denver.
They did.
They don't live in Boston anymore. They moved to Denver about a month ago, a little less than a month ago.
Huh.
I'm not sure for how long, but anyway. Yeah, so we'll see. I emailed Florian. He's going to be out of town that night.
Oh, too bad.
Going to Bavaria. He's actually flying out the day we're landing. And Stan Hieronymus, who lives in town, is going to be in Yakima, Washington.
Oh, well.
Even though there was probably a 20% chance that we'd be able to sneak out of there.
Yeah, seriously.
Because you figure we're going to get in, have a dinner, have a reception, drink for a while. And then, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock is going to roll around. It's like, do we go to bed or do we sneak out to some other place?
I didn't think what if it happens after last time, they'll take us out to another place and buy us beers.
Well, that was the one time. Yeah, we'll see, right?
That was in Coeur d'Alene, right? I mean, they did that.
Yeah, this is St. Louis. I mean, it's a mothership, so I'm sure there's plenty of sellers worth of things on premises.
True.
But we'll see.
True.
We really have no itinerary other than be there by 3 on Friday and can leave after 6 on Thursday, or be there by 3 on Wednesday and leave after 6 on Thursday, right, is all we know so far.
It'll be interesting. This is the first one was about hops, the second one was about their barley. This is going to be about their yeast. And they say some of their pilot brewery. So, should be interesting. This is the 11th, August 11th.
September
11th.
Yes, 9/11.
Yeah.
Great day to be going through an airport. I'm sure there's going to be in heightened security just because.
Yeah, better be there extra early. At least, our 9/11 flight is a direct flight. So I don't know if
that... Do you want some? I've already had a few beers today, so I'm not going to have any pre-show beer. But
sure.
Here you go.
You're getting into the...
I don't want to be the drunk before the show starts again guy.
No, but you are getting into the having a few beers now. Before it was like you were sober, plain sober, because you had the kids to worry about. But now I guess the kids are slightly less of an issue that you can have a beer or two and not be...
Well, the homebrew club meeting was this afternoon, so that's part of the reason.
But there's been other days.
That's actually most of the reason, homebrew club. Yeah, and then the other one was a... What was the reason for that day? I forget. I'm just drinking. The neighbors on the street.
Nothing wrong with that.
Neighbors on the street.
So how did your hops... We picked them and you heard...
Picked them, dried them, gave them away at the homebrew club meeting today.
Oh, really?
I had last year's harvest that I hadn't touched. I have the previous year's harvest that I probably have barely touched. I have the previous year's to that harvest that's in the freezer. And the year before that's still in the freezer. So I gave away this year's and last year's harvests.
Oh, wow. Well, they went to a good cause.
Yep.
Did you just keep any?
Not from this year.
I saw a vacuum package.
Oh, yeah. So I got those. Those are the ones I forgot to seal in the bag. I don't know what I'm going to do with those. Maybe
give them to me.
I might. Okay. I can do that. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Otherwise, I'll probably... I was going to vacuum seal those into 1 ounce bags, but... All the other stuff I just kind of put into a giant bag instead of portioning it out because that takes so much time to weigh it and measure it and pack it into a bag and vacuum seal it. So, yeah, so I gave away around 3 pounds of hops today.
And we picked probably about a pound and a half, right? So,
yeah, once it dried, probably a little over a pound once it's dried. It probably weighed 3 pounds or so when it was wet, but yeah, that was fun.
Does it feel weird here? It feels like there's less ambient noise than there usually is. I don't know why.
It does seem kind of quiet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Hmm. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's not any more filled with clutter than normal. So, more clutter would mean more deadening material, but it's not too much more clutter.
No, it's just it's interesting. Well, anyway, so if you manage to listen to that whole hop harvest thing, then I congratulate you. I tried.
An hour and a half.
Yeah, but the sound was bad, and we were really rambling, and we weren't really paying much attention because we were all picking our hops.
Yeah, there was a lot of dead air. Oh, well.
So it was even more, you know, rambling and unconscionable than our
But we still did it. We still did a show, so.
Yes. We're coming up on my birthday. August 26th is my birthday, my 37th birthday. Woo-hoo. Prime number. This is what I've been looking forward to because it's prime, because I'm that much of a jerk that I'm like, yeah, it's a prime number. Yeah. The next one won't be till 41. So
I was wondering, I was doing the math, like, no, 39 is divisible and 41. I think 41 is prime.
Cousin primes, four apart. And my sister is turning 41. She just did, actually, yesterday.
So, there you go. Sibling primes.
Mm-hmm. Sibling primes. So the St. Louis thing was kind of it felt like a birthday present almost. I was happy to see that.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I mean,
you're like, what?
You sent me the email. I was like, that's unexpected.
Yeah, pretty cool. So again, if you're gonna sell out big.
We will be honest. At the same time, we will not insult them to their faces, right? I mean,
no.
That's just we'll be honest, but we won't be petty. And I think that's all they ask,
right? Be curious to see what it's like with the new AB InBev.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously they hadn't done this in a while, and that may have been a lot of the AB InBev sort of getting their corporate act together and figuring out where things are. And maybe they figured now they have enough stuff going on that they can restart this sort of outreach. I'm curious as to what kind of outreach they want to do. Clearly regular beer is falling in terms of its popularity that it used to have.
Mm-hmm.
Craft beer is rising in terms of its popularity that it used to have. These beer writers are mostly concerned with craft beer. What is their angle?
Yeah. Maybe they're just... And that's it. I mean, all the craft that they started is kind of gone by the wayside.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what they go. Here, I'm going to forward you an email that Florian sent me.
Yeah, so that'll be... That'll be, I guess, one of the questions, and maybe I'll try to figure out a better way to phrase it. But that'll be sort of the line of questioning I'll be getting at. You know, what do you have to offer for the craft beer drinker? What is it that you are, you know, are you trying? Are you simply letting that market be and saying, here, look, we still make this commodity beer? Are you trying to reintroduce yourself to that market in some way? Are you trying to show that? Despite the fact that you make commodity beer, you know, it's still an important process, and I would not argue against that. I mean, that's true.
I mean, what I think the answer is, you know, the parent company as a whole, they're more focused in getting market share in developing markets, China, Brazil,
right,
things
right.
like that. Than they are with developing the craft market in North America. That's kind of what I see, is they've refocused with just gaining market share in these developing markets.
And that makes sense because the American beer market, or at least the Pilsner market, is dropping.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not. But other markets, overseas, it's much easier now to get places overseas. And so,
I mean, Bud Light sold more barrels of beer than all craft beer last year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, don't shed a tear for AB InBev. They're doing fine. But, yeah, I'm just, I mean.
Well, are they? I mean, the problem is they have shareholders to answer to. So just being able to run a, you can't run a business status quo when you're a public company, right?
Well, I mean, I'll point out, they didn't fly us out there first class.
No. They never did. But
they gave us first class rooms, though. You know, I mean, when we were in Jackson Hole, we stayed at the Four Seasons. That's...
It was a hell of a hotel, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty costly. They're spending money on us. Now, you know, to them it's a drop in the bucket, but...
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, I guess they figure that, the, you know...
We're worth it.
Are we?
We're fighting the good fight.
Yeah, I like to think we are. I like to think that we'll do everything we can to sort of, you know, take you along for the experience as much as we can and get some pictures and good audio and let you hear what they have to say and let you sort of judge for yourself and we'll try to remain as impartial and get the best questions as possible.
Yeah, good audio. I think this one's going to be more... a more visual thing than the other ones too, with the yeast lab and the pilot brewery. So I'm going to try to do some video as well, capture some video for it.
It's certainly easier to capture video than ever.
Yeah.
And you didn't, you don't have to have dedicated video cameras now.
You just have to make sure you have enough free space on your phone so you can capture the video you want.
I bought myself a game for a present. It's a game that, it's one of the most fun games I've ever played, ever.
Okay.
I won't say it's one of the best games I've ever played ever, because I don't know if it quite fits that, but in terms of most fun to play...
Are you talking about a video game, board game, what?
It's a video game. It's called Saints Row 4. I was a fan of the Saints Row series. I you know, got into it at Saints Row 2. Okay, so think of it this way. Saints Row 2 was sort of a... kind of a, it was a GTA clone of sorts that allowed itself to get goofy and go crazy. So okay. It was sort of like a goofier GTA clone. And then Saints Row 3 came along and that sort of amped up the goofiness factor to a huge amount. And I enjoyed Saints Row 3, but I was kind of disappointed with it because it wasn't as good as Saints Row 2. Now Saints Row 4 is something completely different. It's almost a love letter to gaming itself and to the fans of its entire series. It there is so many things, so many different things that happen in this game. It's got great writing. It's sometimes screamingly funny. It's super playable. It looks like it's a sandbox game, but it's something really completely different. And I'd give away so much by explaining things about it, so I can't really. Because if anybody is in any way interested, I highly recommend Saints Row 4. I think it's just a fantastic game, and especially if you've played games over the past 10 or 15 years, there's so many things that will be that you'll love about it.
Okay. Cool.
Cool.
Cool. I guess it runs on all the platforms. Is it a console game or is it a PC game?
It's on consoles. I got it on the PC, though.
Okay.
Because a PC can run it, and why not?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I don't really play the console anymore anyway, so. Not into the consoles. And I don't think I'll get one of the consoles. I don't see a reason for it now. I don't watch TV, so there's no reason for an Xbox. The X-Bone. I'm not really... I don't play games that much. I mean, this is the only game I've bought in 7 months or 8 months or so. Well, maybe I bought the other StarCraft, so that's not true. So 3 or 4 months. But, you know, that's the schedule on which I buy games. Maybe one every three or four months.
I saw a quick stat about the revenue of mobile gaming versus console gaming. Was it console gaming or PC gaming? But, like, mobile gaming is insane. You know, people spend $3-4 on these games. Yeah. They buy a lot of games.
Well, there are two things to think about that. One is that the mobile games, they sell a lot more units for a cheaper price, but they don't have to pay nearly as many developers to make them. Like, a game like Saints Row, you know, you look at the credits for that thing, and it's endless. you know, any of these, you know, five-star games that, you know, I say five-star in terms of the development team, uh-huh. 70, 80 people on them. This is like, it's basically an animated movie.
Right.
And so you have to pay a lot more. You have to do a lot more testing and all that kind of stuff. Mobile games are just a lot easier to make. And that has something to do with the amount of, you know, I guess net revenue at least they're getting.
Right. But the economics, it's, you know, it almost makes sense to invest your time in mobile, right? If you're going to come up with, I mean, I guess it depends what the hit rate is, right? I mean, because there's a lot of crappy ones, but, you know, there's a few, you know, they're, and they're not just all Angry Birds. There's some more involved RPG type, you know, mobile games and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, there are some interesting and good ones out there that I haven't really played because it's a little too small for me. The form factor, it's really hard to do. I mean, I can play some casual games.
And they were giving away all those free games, you know, when the App Store was having that anniversary or whatever. I downloaded some of those. I haven't really played any of the games yet, but they seem like there's some more involved ones. Badlands. And,
yeah.
And whatnot. Someday I'll get around to starting one of those up. I just grabbed them while they were free.
That's exactly what I did. I got them because they were free, and I figured, what the hell? And it was, and I played one for 4 minutes or so, and then said, okay, well, not really a game player right now. And that's sort of one of the great things about Saints Row is that I'm totally invested in it. I'm totally just like, can't stop playing it.
So I started watching Orphan Black the other day. I'm about 3 or 4 episodes in. It's interesting.
It just keeps getting better. Okay. Which is the cool thing about it is that, like, it goes in unexpected.
You really can't talk about it at all because you don't really want to spoil it to anyone listening. Because, you know, the main premise is a bit of a reveal in the second or third episode. So it's like you really don't want to talk about that part.
Yeah. But you have to say that the actress in it does a fantastic job.
She's busy.
She's busy.
Yeah, you really can't talk about it, right? Without wanting to spoil it at all.
Well, I mean, the premise, you could bring it. I mean, the premise, she's a clone.
There you go. You don't need to watch the first 3 episodes now.
You need to watch them because you need to get you gain the characters, right. But there's more to it than that. The premise is just a starting point. You know, the question of where they all came from, what's going on with them, all that is what the show's about. They dispense with what would be the major mystery very, very quickly, because they have to.
Yeah, they do, but for the first 2 episodes, you're like, she just has a twin out there she never met. You never, then. Like, you don't realize until, you know, right before the clone reveal that, you know, there's 4 of her. You know, 4 people.
No, because in the end of the very first episode, she meets another one very quickly.
Which one was that?
The one in the car.
Oh, yeah, but see, I didn't. Did she realize that she looked just like her? Because I didn't realize that until the next episode, and they started talking about it because of the red hair and everything. You don't.
So whether you didn't realize it in the second episode, they already talked about it. So.
Yeah.
Clearly there's stuff.
Right. But that's just moments before the clone reveal, so. You realize that.
Don't say the C word.
Okay.
That's one of the lines in the show.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we just talked about things that we like but we can't talk about. For fear of spoiling. Okay, what else? What else is going on?
The poor Microsoft. Poor Ben Affleck.
Poor Ben Affleck.
Why do people care so much? How's I don't know.
Yeah, so Ben Affleck's Batman.
Oh my God.
Now, is this a horrible choice? Let me put it this way. It would have been a horrible choice in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
it would have been a terrible, terrible choice in the 90s. Probably would have been a very, very, pretty bad choice in the beginning of the aughts. Now, Ben Affleck has a little bit more oomph behind him. He may be able to handle this part. He's more of an accomplished actor than he was.
I think he could probably handle it. I never watched any of the... was the other superhero he played?
Daredevil.
Daredevil. Never watched any of those. I don't know. Not a huge fan of the Batman franchise anyway. I don't see how he is worse than Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer.
I thought Michael Keaton was a pretty good Batman.
I think he was fine, but I mean, also look at his reputation preceding his Batman role.
Yeah,
right?
Everyone is, you know, looked at it like, oh, you'll be a, that's a terrible, terrible choice. Like, the only one that wasn't was Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not going to reply. Did you hear what they offered him, apparently?
No.
I think they offered him, $100 million to be in four different movies.
No, I just, I don't know if I can take the Twitter backlash. I'm going to turn that down.
$100 million.
I saw a clip. It was, the short little dude from, you know, Val Kilmer was in Willow. And there's that short little dude in Willow. You see this clip I'm describing where he, like, meets Val Kilmer and he brings him into his assistant and Val Kilmer, like, has the mask on. No, you never saw this? Here, let me pull it up.
Is this from Life's Too Short?
I don't know what it's from.
Because it's that guy, it's Warwick Davis, right?
The short little British guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right, don't show it to me. I'll find it later.
Okay.
Don't show it to me during the show.
All right. I won't show it to you during the show. Yeah, probably his Life's Too Short. That's what Google or YouTube suggests. Yeah, Life's Too Short. Val Kilmer is Batman. It's pretty good.
So Val Kilmer, or George Clooney was Batman in the worst Batman movie ever made. So, one of the...
Was that Batman and Robin?
Batman and Robin, yeah. No, well, yeah, Batman and Robin, right? Because Batman Forever was before Batman and Robin.
Yeah, the only one I liked was... Dark Knight. Yeah, well, that was the one with...
Heath Ledger,
yeah. Like, even this latest one.
The latest one kind of sucked.
Did it? Okay. Yeah, see, I never heard that from anyone. I thought it was great. And I'm like, I'm watching it, I'm falling asleep. I'm like, this sucks. I didn't even make it to the football scene. The stadium's blowing up.
I talked about it when it came out. I was pretty majorly disappointed by this one. It was not a very good movie.
I see.
It had all the trappings of a good movie, but that doesn't make it a good movie. Yeah, it had great production values and all that other stuff, but it was a pretty shit story.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I never did make it through the whole movie. I was like so bored. I'm like, I really don't want to go and finish it.
Yeah, and it's overlong. Another super overlong.
Well, that's it. I think I got like to the point where they're down in the sewers and nothing's happening and it's dark and I can't see what's going on. I'm like, eh. Turn it off.
Another overlong movie I just watched. I watched with Damien. We watched 2012 to make fun of it. Whew, that's a stinker of a movie. Another 2.5 hour movie. Like you could have done that movie in 1 hour 15. Easy. You know, 88 minutes. Like the classic 80s movie that we all love, like Ghostbusters and those kind of things. 88 minutes. In and out. No, they had to make this. Oh, this just ponderous, nonsensical bullshit movie that just keeps going and going and going. And there's never kind of an acknowledgement that it's weird because there's all this stuff happening and you're supposed to care about John Cusack character and there's never really an acknowledgement that, you know, right behind him, 7 million people are 7 billion people are dying. And
that's the end of the apocalypse
and,
one. Yeah, okay.
End of the world. I mean, like, you know, he gets on a plane and the entirety of LA and shit falls down behind him. He just manages to escape. And then he's like, phew, glad we made it out of that. And it's like, you know, everybody you knew and loved, all your friends, everybody is gone.
Big deal.
And, you know, we got the family. At least we got the family.
Gotcha. So don't watch it.
No. God, avoid it like the plague. It is a horrible waste of time.
I guess so.
Did you write anything down? I mean,
I didn't write anything down. No. Yeah, I had a few things here. I didn't have time to read that story, so that wouldn't be very much fun to talk about. Yeah, no, got nothing. There's one thing I wanted to talk about. I can't think of what it was now. Shit. Great pre-show.
Why did the, what happened with the files for the show?
I saved them one day and made MP3s, and then a couple of days went by and I got the pre-show off the recorder and I did that and I uploaded them. I just forgot to put tags on them. Wah, wah. Audio is all there. They just didn't have MP3 ID3 tags.
Yeah, another untitled fear on our list.
You know, whatever. I put them back up now with titles. I just fixed the post-show too, which was numbered wrong. But, you know. I'll give everyone their
money back.
Except for the people who donate through PayPal. They won't get their money back.
Let's try to do this, because you mentioned this on the last show, but you never did. We never did succeed in remembering it, even for the rest of the show. When you pour the beers, only pour like a 2-ounce sample at first, so we can get an idea, and then pour the rest of it.
Okay.
Remember, we had that idea, so.
Right. Okay.
Let's see if we can do that, and then I guess from that we'll go on to the show, and then maybe we'll be more talkative once we get more alcohol in us. Well, you already have a lot in you.
Not a lot, but I was just didn't want to drink too much before the show, because I really hate when I start the show drunk or get drunk one beer in. No fun.
I think it's a makes it a fantastic show. Yes.
It's not the same show. Well, there has got to be something interesting in the news going on. No.
There's a lot of, like, political things that happened and stuff, but who cares? I'm sick of all this political stuff.
Oh, the, that thing about The Guardian where they had to destroy that computer and shit?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I was missing something. The story said these are the parts from the MacBook Pro, and they show, like, the motherboard and shit where all the chips are ground off of with an angle grinder. But two of the circuit boards were not from inside a laptop. Right, one was like a PCI card, you know, red PCI card from not inside a Macintosh. Another piece of circuit board was definitely not from inside.
It could have been an external hard drive.
The caption might have been wrong, but it was a PCI card, which would have been in a different computer completely. You know, so either the caption was wrong, but it was like on the Guardian's own. It was the Guardian's blog post on the Guardian's website with the Guardian's photographer.
Well, it's no surprise to me that The Guardian gets tech wrong, because this entire story has been about getting technology completely wrong.
Guess you're right. But they show all this destroyed parts of the Mac, and half the parts on the picture were not ever inside a Mac.
It's been such a bunch of, you know, scare tactics about how horrible technology is without people having any real understanding of the technology they're talking about. I mean, it even seems Snowden doesn't understand technology if he's pushing all this out. He seemed like a low-level system administrator who doesn't really understand the technology he was dealing with or the capabilities of it.
How so? Do you have any examples? Or?
Well, I mean, putting out the numbers, like you said, the...
Oh, that wasn't for him, though. That was just an estimate of the NSA data center from someone in... Like I said before, I'm pretty sure it was a journalist who thought a zettabyte was like was the byte version of a zillion, you know?
I mean, I looked at those Prism slides and I saw what they were immediately. I saw they weren't facts. They were somebody trying to pump himself up. And it was pretty clear that the information that he had on the capabilities of the system was completely wrong.
I wouldn't say that. I would say...
How would you characterize it?
I think it's very probable that they have tapped the internet lines for many companies and are sniffing everything in that they can off the line that's not HTTPS, not encrypted traffic, and saving that. And even the encrypted traffic, they're saving in hopes that there'll be a breakthrough in brute forcing or decrypting the traffic.
There was one. Did you see that? There was a
you mean the
decryption.
Oh, the whole compression flaw, so we can get cookies and stuff.
No. This is a very interesting one.
You talking about breach? That was the acronym. You're not talking about breach.
No, I'm talking about some researchers have determined that it's a lot easier to break into. I mean, it's still a difficult problem, but it's easier than was thought mathematically because they were using a different version of entropy than the one that's actually required. Let me see if I can find information on that, because it was a pretty big story if you knew what was going on.
Yeah, load that up. Tell me about it. What are you looking for?
We'll pause for a second.
All right, we're back. So what Greg showed me was not talking about the breach attack, but it was pretty much the math behind the breach attack, where when you have encrypted data, but compressed first. I can't speak exactly about what happens, but it makes it not easy. Still very hard, like that article there says, but exponentially easier than once thought to decrypt it. This is unfortunate because... So there was an attack before breach. It was called something else.
Explain what the breach attack is, for example.
So, I was going to do that by... A couple months or maybe 6 months before the breach attack, there was another one called something else. I can't think. And it was about sending requests out to the server, and those you could they found a way with their I don't remember how that one works, but this was based off of that, where when a web server talks to you over HTTPS encrypted, you know, web traffic, it will compress the stuff and send it to you. The compression saves, makes the page load faster because you're not sending as much data over the wire. Mm-hmm. But when you compress that, you're taking, I think what this might not be the accurate term from the article, but basically you're taking out some of the entropy or something like that, right? So it actually makes the cracking easier. And there's the breach attack is able to pull session tokens and cookies and stuff out of the encrypted transfer. And actually it's not very hard to do so. So if you get in the middle of an HTTP thing, you might be able to get the session cookie. And, you know, then for like, so if I'm on Facebook, Facebooking and stuff, and the, it's over HTTPS, everything's encrypted. But if you're listening in the middle, you might be able to get my session cookie out of that encrypted transfer and then log on to Facebook through that same session. So basically hijack my session.
That's not what this is about, though.
This is the math behind it.
Behind grabbing your session cookie?
Behind the flaw in compressed encrypted traffic. And the breach attack, they demonstrated grabbing things like session cookies and things like that. Passwords and session cookies were what they could grab pretty easily for some reason.
That's not how I read the story at all.
It's talking about when you compress data and encrypt it, it's more easily cracked.
Right, but it said nothing about session variables.
This is a specific attack using that mathematical flaw in encryption. That article is only talking about a mathematical flaw in encryption.
So you're saying grabbing the session cookie and then decrypting
for some
the
reason,
session cookie
for some
allows
reason,
you to decrypt
no,
it?
No, it's just HTTP traffic with, you know, HTML tags and cookies and passwords and images and all that stuff. For some reason, the breach attack, when they demonstrated it at DEF CON, they showed how easy it was to grab session cookies and passwords out of this encrypted stream.
Even though the session cookie itself is encrypted, they were able to pull it out.
the session cookie was just some bits on this encrypted stream, and they were able to find
it. But it was encrypted, but they were able to pull it out and decrypt it.
They were able to find it in this encrypted stream, yeah, and decrypt it. So it's not like it was, here's an encrypted file.
Right.
Crack it. It's me getting all kinds of encrypted pseudo-random noise coming across the wire, and they were able to statistically find and decrypt the session cookies and things like that.
Now
you're not going to want to decrypt the HTML tag. No use, right? What you're going for is something of value, like passwords and session cookies. So just demonstrating... They were demonstrating where the harm is by going after session cookies.
Okay, so this is...
That article only speaks about the flaw in compressed encrypted traffic.
Right. Basically, it's a problem with what they call Shannon entropy, named after Claude Shannon. And that's sort of a wrong way to look at the problem. And it's still too complicated for me to understand, because that's just...
No, if web servers turned off server-side compression, right, then this flaw isn't exploitable, or the web traffic isn't exploitable by this flaw. But then everyone's web pages get bigger, a lot bigger, five times bigger.
Pretty much everything that's a text file is encrypted on web traffic. Compressed in web traffic. It's so easy and quick, especially now, to do. So it's unlikely that will happen.
Well, right, because bandwidth would go up by an order of 5 to 10 for all the textual traffic. And granted, images are compressed, and they'd still be compressed. So in the average size of an average transfer is probably mostly image, so it probably wouldn't have a huge effect. But also, being able to put on the HTML page in 1/10 the size and start rendering it, you know, is very advantageous when you want fast web browsing.
I remember when 56K modems used to do that automatically. They used to have compression built into the... Basically, they had the compression built into the modem, so you wouldn't have to do it on your processor, because computers weren't that fast at the time.
Yeah, that was just compression over the last mile.
Yeah. But at this point, 56K modems, wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what that is.
I had a 2800 baud modem, and I'm proud of it. That was my lowest one. People have other ones that have gone lower, I think, like 1200 or 300.
Yeah, I didn't have a computer back that long ago. And if I did it, so yeah, I mean, I had a Tandy Coco 3, right? But no modem-y thing for it. You know, and that was back in the 2400 baud days, probably. So
the cool thing was before 56K, where it was like, when it was 2800, it was, I'm pretty sure it was that.
You could hear it, and you could talk to the computer.
Yeah, but
it was, dang, 56K,
it just turned to like, and it would send its noise, and you know.
So your 2800 baud, was it the ones where you put the cups on the phone, or
no? It connected directly to the phone line.
I wonder what the maximum speed on the ones like for more games are, where you put the cups.
Those
are,
I think, 300s.
300s.
Yeah. I think if you get a good seal, you could probably do 1200, even maybe 2800, but probably not much faster than that. I mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it'd be any faster than that.
Because then you deal with basically another speaker. That whole system has its own problems.
Mm. Oh, the good old days.
Shall we play a game? Well, I love this. That so you know, Matthew Broderick showed that he showed Ali Sheedy that he had the voice thing on his computer, and then apparently they had the same thing at NORAD. Because he's talking.
Right. State of the art of classified equipment. Matthew Broderick just happened to make one of his own.
Alright, let's get to beer drinking, and maybe we'll think of some other stuff to talk about while we do the show. Let's do some good stuff, because it's my birthday.
Okay.